Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, this morning we want to say thank you. Thank you for your kindness and thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your love towards us. What manner of love is this? The Bible says that we should be called the sons of God. We've gathered in your presence this morning, O God, because the Bible says that it's better to spend a day in your house, in your courts, than a thousand out there. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We are glad to be in your presence this morning, and we know you have something in store for us. Bless us. Affect our lives. Change us, O God. Let our lives never be the same again, even before we leave. Thank you, Father, for your plans for us. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, wow, why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? That's right. And you may be seated. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Wow. Is there gladness? Is there joy?
Yes.
Wonderful. We are looking at tithing. Tithing. A tenth of your increase. 10% of everything God gives to you. And in fact, we want to start with Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Many a times people get a little concerned or they get a little worried. I don't know whether it's worried or concerned, whether it's not selfishness rather, as to what do I pay tithe on? What do I pay tithe on? Remember, there is a standard way of increase, and that is through our salaries. So that, there's no discussions about that. Many people know that one. But I believe that one of the things that we miss is the fact that the increase there, the tithe, is not just over your salary, but over your increase. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 that honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Sylvester, all your increase. All your increase, not just your monthly salary. Because for many, many, many people, God is so wonderful that he does not just allow you to depend on your monthly salary. There are ways in the month where God introduces money into our lives. I mean, what a blessing it is to just not wait for your salary. Because sometimes you sit down waiting for your salary. How many have experienced that before? Yeah, almost every month we wait for our salary. Yeah, waiting. Waiting. You're waiting. Ah, somebody says they're waiting right now. It's, no. It's so, is it the money and in this life is so fantastic. By the time you get your salary, you are already waiting for the next one. That's what we call from paycheck to paycheck. You see, God is so good that he does not just allow you to sit down and wait for your paycheck. He introduces, he intervenes, interventions. Yeah. If you don't experience those things, there's something wrong with how you see God and how your money works with God. Yeah, it's like you are dry until the 19th or the 20th. In fact, the calendar, you've marked the calendar. And every day as we come and we are worshiping God, you are waiting for the day on the calendar. oh, there's something wrong. There's dryness. Something is wrong. Yeah. Yeah. The Bible says that there is something we call increase. It's not just once a month. Oh, they come in several, ways, and they come in numbers. So I want you to even, that's not what I'm preaching about, but I want you to assess your life. How many times in a month do you get increase? If it's once a month, there's something wrong. Yeah. Yeah. You need to pay attention to your money. There's something about your offering, your tithing, your giving. There's something wrong about that. Yeah. Increase. Increase is something that comes to top up on. It comes to add. And so God is not so cruel as our Father to just sit down at the end of the month, 20th of February, boom, and he forgets about you. 25th, he gives. I mean, if it's not the 25th, you will not get anything. What kind of Father is this? So that's the first thing I want us to, keep at the back of our mind as we are moving into. Today is the last Sunday I'm preaching about tithing. So I want you to remember that, because we forget. The salary is very clear, but that small increases that passes by the corner, a little 2,000 here, a little 3,000 there. It's, sometimes it's a little tricky. It's, oh, $200, man, I gonna wait. No. You should be faithful. Yeah, tips. Some of you work in places where you get tips, and the tip is for you only. Who gave you the tip? That's the problem. Who gave you the tip? It's a customer who gave you the tip, isn't it? Of course, it's a customer who gave you, but it's God who gave you the tip. Because God says, ask for my daughter, ask for my son. I cannot allow the monk to come only. I love her so much that I will increase her as and when. But when the increase comes, we say, no, this increase is for me. It's my monthly salary that I have to give God. A tenth of it. The next thing that you should note is that many people do not get blessed or do not experience a blessing in tithing because what they tithe of the money, the amount they pay, is not one tenth. It's less if you calculate it. And when you are rounding up your figure, you should round it up, not down. Otherwise, God will also round you down. Yeah. Many people do not pay a tenth. They pay something. I've experienced that. It happens all the time. If I even come to you, sometimes I ask the people, I'm interested in Brother Sherwin's tithe. Sometimes I do that as a pastor. Because how can I pastor him, just preach to him only? What kind of pastoral work is that? I have to make sure that his tenth is correct. Yeah. That's also part of my pastoral work. So you check Brother Sherwin's tithe, January 2005, February 4,000, March 1,000, April 500. Then it's not like there's a standard 2,000 or 3,000 and it can go up, but it never goes below. But you see all kinds of amounts from some people. I mean, if it increases, we know. Because you have been increased by the Lord, so you are paying tithe over the other increases. But it should not go down beyond a certain ceiling. Yeah. Oh, you see that all the time. When I get a chance to sit down and I analyze, I say, this person, they are not truthful. They are liars. This person is a liar. He's trying to deceive God. It's like God cannot do arithmetic. He even knows it before you got the money. So people sometimes wonder, I pay tithe, I don't get my blessings. This. Remember, I was preaching to you the other day, and I said that there's a businessman that I know, I've just heard of him. He says he doesn't believe in tithing. He believes in giving. The other day, I saw in the newspapers that his shop has been robbed. And the interesting thing I read about in that article was that this man seems to be targeted occasionally. It's like people go there and rob him all the time. I don't want to tell you the place. You know who I'm talking about. You know it's who, right? Yeah. This is somebody who doesn't pay, he does not believe in tithing. Meanwhile, armed robbers or bandits go into his shop and thief his money all the time. What does that tell you? That the Bible talks about a spirit called the devourer and destroyer. So as you are working hard and you are gathering your money, you say you don't believe in tithe? You sit down and say you don't believe in tithe. Yeah. And it takes you back. Because many of these shops, they have the things on credit. Consignment stock. You pay at the end of the month. You pay as people have, you know, bought from you. Then you pay the person who supplied you. So the money that is actually in the whatever safe is people's money. So when the Lord sleeps on you, because the Bible says he neither sleeps nor slumber, but upon your life he sleeps. Then thieves come in and they take that which belongs to somebody else, but you will have to pay for it. Because you can't tell them, thieves came here, so I can't pay. You what? You better find some security here and fix your things. You can't tell the person who's supplying you goods that you will not pay. Are you with me? Oh, are you with me? So tithing is something you don't want to joke with it. Now, remember, as we've been talking about tithing, we've been talking about the wisdom key. We're saying that money is in some particular hands. Did you read the Hits and Jams case in Canada? I was reading about it. Was it yesterday or the day before in St. Lucia? When it is coming, then it is doing. Have you heard that English before? Things are tumbling down. Hits and Jams water world. You know where the money is coming from? You didn't see it? The guy has been surveilled for 1 year. They got over 100 kilos of cocaine. Pistols. I forgot the amount. Over 10 guns. 22. And the cocaine value is $12.2 million. Yeah. Yeah. They have a TV station. They have a Boom FM. They are connected to the guy. Whoa. Money is in the wrong hands and in the wrong places. So you and I, who want to live our life in a very quiet, genuine, humble way, who should give you money? You have to lick some bottom and get money. But the children of God are not supposed to lick nobody's bottom. So you need to be on God's side so he will stand and he will fight for you. Yeah. So when you give God the increase, then he becomes a giant over the rest that you have for yourself. And he fights the devourer. He fights the destroyer. He protects that which belongs to you. Now if you're going to play smart with God, he'll sleep on you. Once God sleeps, you are dead. You're doomed. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. What are the signs, or what is the sign of riches? If somebody is rich, what shows that a person is rich? What do you call assets? What is assets? Are you doing balance sheet? What? Cars, money, three lands in Pradoville too, which they are going to repossess just now. Houses. Your own scheme? You have your own housing scheme? A peace of mind. Now, it's very interesting that we look at riches in a different way. Many people will say that somebody is rich if the person dresses nice. When a person drives a flashy car. When a person has nice clothes. Yeah, chains. In St. Lucia, you know, wherever we went to Trinidad, all over the place, all the churches, Guyanese are in the churches, all the churches. So when we're in St. Lucia, then I'll kind of make a joke with it, you know. When the people come and they come to say hello to Bishop, I say, Bishop, this one is Guyanese. And he'll look at me and say, eh. So I'll just tell him, all these people who are here, they are from my country. They should send them back. So my church can get big. So Bishop Richard was asking in the church, he was asking, so how do you know if somebody is Guyanese or Jamaican? They say, yeah. If he's from Guyana, he'll have a gold teeth. Bling, bling. My phone, they ring. I said, yeah, we have gold, so we walk around, you know. We have to show that we have gold. So don't worry. We got to bling our teeth. You see, you are lucky that it's just one. We should decorate our mouth with gold. Yeah. It was very funny. It's the truth, right? Because there was one lady from Ghana who has gold teeth. You know you are Guyanese when you have gold teeth. And see, people attribute those things to riches. But real riches is in houses. Yeah. There's something you call real estate. You can drive cars. You can put on your nice clothes. If you don't have a house, you're not rich. Yeah. If you don't have a house, you're not rich. No matter what you have, no matter how people praise you, if you don't have a house, you're not rich. House of your own. You're not rich. Yeah? Even if it's a shack, it's still a house. Yeah, at least you have a land, you have a... Yeah? That's why we call it real estate. That's why the bank, they want your transport. Yeah, and keep it. Because it's money, it's riches. Another sign of riches is somebody who is not in debt. The person is not paying nobody at the end of the month. Because the Bible says the rich ruleth over the poor. And the borrower is servant to the lender. It's wisdom not to owe anybody, including the bank, no matter how nice they make their face. Yeah. Now, if you owe somebody, already you are in the negative. Whenever money comes, it goes. So if you look at our brothers and sisters in abroad, America, Canada, all these places, they are poor people, a lot of poor people. The house they are living in is credit. The car they are driving, no matter how big it is credit. One thing Bishop told us, he said he doesn't like America. You know why? He said, because when you go to America, all the things that you see, they are not real. When we go to America, we go for camps. And you see the church members come to the camps. You see the vehicles. Hey, if you are not confident in the Lord you serve, you say, what? People got things. The vehicles. The American vehicles. People come. They get down. Press. Fit. Alarm. Like how these people do. They start the car from their house. Hey.
when you sit in the car, you feel like you're in an aeroplane. Comfortable. Cars with seats that can warm your buttocks. When it's winter time, you press the heater and it heats your buttocks. Man! Not a car. When you drive, you don't feel it. So, many of the cars in America are horses and camels. The engines are 3.0, 3.5, 4.0 engines, tanks. Yeah, black tanks, poly tanks. Yeah. Bishop says, all those things are not real. It's like a lady with lipstick and wig and all kinds of things. If you take it off, one, you rub the lipstick off, you take the face color. Even there are things you may have to take off. You realize that it's not as they are presenting it to you. Because in America, there are a lot of places they will not help you if you don't have a credit history. Yeah. You must have. So there are some people that who have really listened to what Bishop talks about. And what they do is that they just take their credit card and they buy something small, a little $100, and they pay it back the next day. So that at least they have a credit card, that something has gone off your credit. Otherwise, anywhere you go, they say, because you have not borrowed money before, we don't know you. You have to borrow and be paying. So they say, oh, this guy is a good guy. He's been paying his bills. If you don't owe anybody, they don't trust you. They don't know you. So what kind of person are you? That's why they don't come until somebody's dead. You let somebody die from nowhere, they'll say, we are coming. But when nobody's dead, they ain't coming nowhere. Yeah. There's no money. The houses they live in, mortgage. The cars they drive, mortgage. So real riches, really, is when somebody doesn't owe. That's why you cannot live in Guyana and owe anybody. I said you cannot live in Guyana and owe somebody. The guy who sold us this building, I was talking to him some many years ago. And then I said I bought cane from somewhere. He said, Pastor, you buy cane? I said, yeah. He said, what? In Ghana, you don't buy cane? You would just go and you just pick. I find it very interesting. Because we are surrounded by a lot of cane fields. Why should I go and buy cane? It's a good thing too. You can't be in Guyana where one how do you call it? One plantain. How do you call it? Branch is a lot. How do you call it? Well, single plantain. You can eat one single plantain and be okay. You go market early. You can get it for free. You should not go hungry in Guyana. America, yes, maybe. Canada, yes, maybe, because nothing is free. But Guyana, even if you go to somebody's house and say, you know what, sweetie? I'm hungry bad. A plate of food you can get. We were in St. Lucia. And we're walking somewhere, and then some guy says good evening to us. We didn't respond, and they were very annoyed. So Bishop Richard, when we were coming back, we're analyzing. Bishop Richard was why? Here everybody greets everybody because it's a small country, small town. So people just say good night to everybody just like that. But Bishop Richard said, but me where I come from, nobody says anything to you. In London, everybody is going like that. No good. Even your neighbor, some people don't know their neighbors. You. If you watch a movie or if you see the news, a typical subway metro in New York City, you see nobody talking to nobody. People reading their book, their newspaper, they plug their ears, playing some game. There's no interaction. Zero. So, yeah, you can punish that, but you can't be in Guyana and go and buy cane. Yeah. South Romford is a cane field. You go just one. If you want, you can't even chew it. You can't even, if you just pick one. It's too big. You even planted back in our yard. So he said, Pastor, you don't buy cane. And I receive instruction. And it's true. Now, this morning, my message is almost... I've not even started preaching. Tithing and building the house of God. Malachi 3:10 says something. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be progress in my house. And see what I can do. If we are going to be able to build houses, it will be because we have been building the house of God. Building a house is a spiritual thing. Oh, you are quiet. Huh? What does the Bible say? You see, the Bible says, if you sow, you will reap. If you sow in bringing meat into the house of the Lord, if you contribute to the building of the church of God, what seed are you sowing? You are sowing seeds of building a house. What are you going to reap? Are you not going to reap building a house also? Now, if you plant tomato seeds, what do you get? You get corn? So why is it that if you bring in your tithe and you contribute to the building of the church of God, that you should not also reap a house? Tell me why you should not also reap a house. If you understand seed, planting seed and reaping the fruits of it. Yeah. You want a house? Help build God's house. See, sometimes when you help, even if it's physically, if somebody is building and you are involved in a person's building project, you even get to know the price of cement, you even get to know the price of wood, and then, you know, the whole thing becomes a little clear. Because if you are going to start to build a house right now, you wouldn't know how to do it. Some contractors are going to come and tell you all kinds of things. They'll give you an estimate you buy. They wouldn't need all the things you buy for them. Oh, contractors, that's how they are. Ah, see, 20 lengths of half-inch steel rod. And they don't need all of that. Because these contractors are not university graduates. They cannot calculate bill of quantities. They don't have the education. They just guess by experience. Yeah, copy and paste. They've been doing it with Tom. So they are trying to also branch off and do the things that they learned. But it's not from university. They are not educated in that area. But when you are involved in the building of somebody's house, as you are helping, as you are going, you are coming, you get to understand, hey, a truckload of sand. Because it is that idea that even makes us understand that a bag of cement, that the hair you are wearing, the lipstick, the shoes you are wearing, is about 3 bags of cement. Yeah. One of the things that I sometimes, when I travel, I buy is, I buy colognes, right? I just go around and look at them. Anytime I buy, I don't care about the name. I buy the one that's cheap. 100 ml, that is cheap. That's one of the ones I like. It could be Esther or Yulana, I don't care. Once it's 100 ml. And it's perfume is just to smell nice. All the perfumes smell nice. Is there a perfume that is better than some perfume? I've never had a perfume when you spray, then people say, what do you have on you? Every perfume is nice. In fact, those perfumes that comes, oh, wow, you have a very nice, you are wearing a very nice, I was wearing what? It's my dress I'm wearing. What else am I? I go for the 100 ml. Sometimes it's pay 2, buy 2 for the price of something. That's the areas I go. So I say, Armani, Gucci, and all of that. Gucci is dead, or Armani, somebody's, one of them is dead. So I go and I look. I admire the new brands. I admire. You see, when you go to a developed place, you can take the tester and do. Yeah. Well, here, they make you smell. You see, yeah. Gift land make you smell. Yeah. Say, Lord, have mercy. Yeah. Yeah, some. I look. Nice. What? Polo. Perry Ellis. Okay, what? Oh, Hugo. Okay. And you see something, they say, some name. I say, 100 ml. I look at the price. I look at the price. And I spray on the, you know, that white paper, the tester. And I say, I like this one. Hey, what name? I don't, name? I have a name. Water, 100 ml. It smells okay. I buy it. Yeah, I love it very long. Because I buy when I travel. Sometimes I don't travel for a while. Oh, you must learn. There are certain things when you buy. Can you believe that a bag of cement is $2,000 and you are renting a house? Because you don't think about cement because you are not close to any building project. If you are close to a building project, your eye will open like that. Pah! So, wow, a truckload of sand is about 10,000. If you are closer on the East Bank, you can even get it cheaper. 8,000. I can get a truckload. Do you know what a truckload of sand can do? Blocks. $60, $80. When somebody gives you $80, you will not say thank you. But 10 of $80 can give you a little something. And then gives you a little something. And it gives you a little something. And then you put your things that you are just inside. And then you just do things outside. Right? Say what happened to you. And then you get another one. And then you extend. Then you bring the white water closet right there. No, but we like it to be flashy. One time, we want to enter into the house and say, wow, nice. No, that one, you will not be able to do it like that. Solomon built his house for 13 years. What I'm saying is that when you pay tithe, you are helping to build the church of God. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As you pay tithe, you help in the building project of God, God's building project. And it brings knowledge and understanding for even you to build your house also. Amen. And you need to live in your own house before you die. Amen. It will be nice when we are going away to pass on houses to children. So that the children don't have to now come and struggle. Don't have to now come and rent. You and I, we have struggled. We've been renting. We've been moving from place to place. Now our children should also come and also struggle. A good man leaves inheritance for his children's children. Children's children. And as we pay our tithe, God supernaturally will help us. Because wisdom is the principal thing. The Bible says in Psalm 127, what does it say? Except the Lord build a house. Except the Lord build a house. So building a house is not just a physical activity. They labor in vain, them that build it. Wouldn't it not be nice when your daughter is getting married? You say, well, you know what? Take my house in Meadowbrook Gardens. Just take that. You and your husband, I bless you with a house. Then they start. There's a proverb. They say that yeah, who 2 years in January 10th. There's a proverb in Ghana. They say that if you are born on a hill, it doesn't take you long to become tall. Mr. Rankin, they say if you are born on a hill, you're already tall. You can be a short man, but you're still tall. Because when you stand on a hill, you look down on those who are tall. They still cannot reach where you are. What they are trying to say is that if you are born into riches, if you are born into wealth, man, come on. Don't you see these small boys, they drive cars that you and I, if you don't take care, you'll die trying. And they write at the back of the vehicle, study me and run mad. Stand to your feet, my time is up. Yeah. No, God wants to build a house for you. I said, God wants to build a house for you. Even animals that God has created, He has made provisions for them. Birds are able to build their nest. Hey, it's not easy. We, the highest intelligent creators or creation of God, we can't seem to be able to build a hut for ourselves. That's why I said, go to the ant and learn from his ways. Can you see a bird? He has a place to stay. No, nobody asks him for rent. A bird does not pay any mortgage. Yet, human beings who are so intelligent and so brilliant. I hope I'm not spoiling the bank people their business. We must spoil it. You know why bank people who work at the bank, they dress so nice? They want to build your confidence to bring your money there. Them pia pia banks, they don't know how to do banking work. But banks, that's why banks are always very flashy, glassy, glittering, air conditioned, nice, quiet. So that when you come, you say, my money is safe here. Some people, their money is safe under their mattress in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you thank God for wisdom? Thank God for wisdom. Thank God for wisdom. Say, Lord, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you. I want even more of wisdom. Pray for more wisdom. The Bible says, through wisdom that a house is built. I'm sure that if you have a little cottage for yourself now, you'll be very comfortable. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Thank God for wisdom and ask Him even for more wisdom to be able to live your life. God wants you to build a house. He wants you to live in your own built house. Come on, somebody, pray. You can build. You can build. The secret is to build God's house. The secret is to build that which God is building. You can. You can. It doesn't matter how young you are, you can. Because money passes through your hands all the time. You can build. You can. It is possible. God wants you to have a house. Father, thank you so much. If a human being say that the basic human need, human right, is to accommodation. There are people who are campaigning against people being homeless. And if human beings care about human beings to have a place to dwell, habitat for humanity, how much more you, our Heavenly Father, how much more will you not care that your people and your children will have a place to stay? Thank you for wisdom. It just does not happen. It comes by applying ourselves to your wisdom. And I thank you for releasing that wisdom even to us right now. That we will build houses. We will build houses. We will build houses. We will live in them. We will dwell in them. We'll pass it on when the time comes. Houses, oh God. Let the grace to build houses fall upon us, oh God, individually. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are here this morning while every head is still bowed, every eye is still closed. Pastor, please pray with me. I don't know Jesus. I want to be born again. If I die right now, I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I'm not born again. I'm not saved. I want to be born again. Just your right hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. Pastor, I don't want to go to hell when I die. Please. Pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Just your right hand up high. God bless you. If you lift up your right hand, I want to ask you to just come. Clap for them as they come. Come, come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Come right here. Just come close.
Really of myself, I belong to you. Lead me.
Wow. Just close your eyes, church, and pray this prayer after me. Make it your own prayer. Pray from the bottom of your heart. And by this simple prayer, your life will change forever. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe he rose again on the third day. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. I am born again now, and my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Wow, why don't you put your hands together for them? God bless you. Your life has changed. It's like wedding. You go to the altar, you say, I do, and then you do. The same thing when you come to the altar like this, you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me, and you become a new person. God forbid, if you were to pass on tomorrow or tonight, you are safe and secure forever and forever. I want to encourage you, if you don't have any church and you live around here, you live in Guyana, this is the best church for you. And make sure that you come to church, you have your Bible, you pray, and you fellowship all the time. All right, you have a book for you here, How to Be Born Again and Avoid Hell. It's a gift from us to you by our bishop. Read it, and God will bless you. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.